Let's just pray for him, and then he's going to bring God's word to us this morning. Father, we thank you for Chad. We thank you for who you formed and framed him to be. And, Lord, we want to receive this word that he has this morning in the way that Paul said the Thessalonians received the word when he preached, not as the word of man, but as the word of God. And so open our hearts and minds to receive it. And, Lord, may it impact our lives. Your word says the entrance of your word brings light. And we want you to illuminate our lives through this word that you've given to Chad, your servant, to bring this morning. So bless him, anoint him, and we receive him in this word from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Chad.
Good morning. First off, I just want to start off and just thank Mario for giving me the opportunity to be able to come up here and share the word with you guys this morning. I said in the first service, never in a million years that I think when I stepped through those doors almost 13 years ago, that I would be up here actually speaking to the congregation. So, Mara, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to do that. And I just want to thank God for his faithfulness in being able to give me this opportunity to share with you this morning. So, without further ado, let's get into it. This morning, we're continuing the Easter drama. And in scene one, this is going to be scene four. So in scene one, Mario talked about a new covenant that Jesus established with his disciples and with his friends through the meal that they shared before he went to the cross. And then we learned about a new love that Jesus demonstrated to his disciples and to his disciples and also to Judas through the betrayal and denial of him. And then last week we talked about Jesus becoming a new king and being a new king through the trial that he went through where the Romans eventually sentenced him to the crucifixion and to die on the cross. And this morning what we're going to talk about is I think we're going to talk about the most important event that has ever happened in human history, the most important self-sacrificing event that we have ever seen, an event that changed the course of human history forever. And it's hard to understand that, but because in our culture, the word sacrifice sort of has this meaning of when you say the word sacrifice, it's kind of like people don't really want to do that anymore in our postmodern culture. It's more about living for yourself first and, you know, taking care of you first. And then if I have anything left, I will take care of the people around me. And so the message of Jesus in this act of self-sacrifice in this culture right now is something that runs real contrary to the beliefs that people hold in the surrounding culture. But there are some special examples. The first one, I'm just gonna talk about one this morning. This is a woman. Her name is Ashley Bridges, and she is a 24-year-old mother. She lives in California, and when she was 8 weeks pregnant, she was diagnosed with bone cancer. And the doctors basically said, "Listen, you have got to enter into treatment immediately if you want to live." And Ashley decided not to do that because in order to do that, she would have had to terminate her pregnancy. So at around 8 months, she went in for a checkup. She was about 8 months pregnant. The doctors basically told her, "Listen, Ashley, the cancer spread so much that we are considering you a terminally ill patient, which means there's no going back. We're not going to be able to cure you. I mean, outside in a miraculous healing from God, you know, this is it." But her friends and her family and her fiancé now have been helping her take care of that child, the little girl. Her name is Paisley. And they have stood by her all the way, saying they have never second-guessed her decision to put her daughter's life before her own. And that is just a small picture sometimes, guys. We as human beings, we can do these things, even with all of our faults and our frailties and the things we carry and the fact that we're so imperfect, yet we can make decisions like this to offer up our life for the sake of someone that we love so much. Think about the kind of sacrifice that a perfect, blameless Son of God can make for us when we can do what we do. Think about the difference between our sacrifice and the one that Jesus ultimately did on the cross. This is a sacrifice that was like no other that had come before, and it'll be like no other that will ever come after. It features a man who came to this earth claiming to be God and exclaiming, proclaiming that he was going to die for his friends and for everyone who believed in him and for you and me. And it features, this sacrifice features a father who has been desperately pursuing his people for thousands of years and now has finally set in motion the event that would reconcile everyone to him. This is a father and a son who gave everything for you and I. So this morning, scene 4 is really about the crucifixion. And not only that, about what it means. It's a new sacrifice. So let's go to scripture. We'll read the account of the crucifixion in Luke. Luke 23 says, as the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children, for the time will come when you will say, blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two other men, both criminals, were also let out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there. Along with the criminals, one on his right, one on his left, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers came up and mocked him, and they offered him wine, vinegar, and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him and said, don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And that is the scene that Luke accounts of Jesus actually dying on that cross. And the main point that I want to stress to you guys this morning is this. The death of Jesus on the cross was a new sacrifice for God's people that established a new covenant between God and his people. The new sacrifice that ushered in this new covenant, which Jesus offered, is unlike any that has ever come before. See, God's people, Jesus came and he offered this new sacrifice. Now, in order for there to be a new sacrifice, we have to understand what does the old sacrifice mean, or what is embodied in the old sacrifice. Now, we see the old sacrificial system being set up in the Old Testament and under the old covenant. See, God's people used to live under the old covenant that was given to Moses. When he came down off the mountain and he spoke to the people what God had wanted him to speak. So what is a covenant? A covenant is basically a contract or an agreement between two parties, two willing parties. Okay? So in this sense, the contract is God as one party, the people of God is the other party. So when God spoke his revelation, his covenant to Moses, Moses came down and said, this is what God says. This is how God wants us to live. Do you want to do this with me, basically? And the people of Israel said yes. So they accepted God's covenant, and then they entered into a mutual agreement that, yes, we are your people, you are our God, and this is how we are going to live. Now, the first part of the covenant is the Ten Commandments, but the covenant also addresses a lot of other things, like cases of personal injury, protection of property, social responsibility, all kinds of other different things, the treatment of altars back then. And what it also did was it set up three different festivals that the Jewish people would celebrate every single year. And it was this wonderful agreement, this wonderful just coming together of God and his people. And it was glorious. But obviously the people couldn't hold the covenant, right? We can't live up to God's expectations in a sense. You know, he gave us these laws to live by and these traditions, his people. But we and his people couldn't be perfect. So what had to be done? God had to create a system of sacrificing so that he could atone for the sin and wickedness and the offenses that the people of Israel committed against him. So there had to be something that had to be done to bring them back together when they were separated, and that was the sacrificial system. So in Leviticus, we see the old sacrificial system. And the crux of that system was called the Day of Atonement. And then on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, Aaron, who was the high priest at that point in time, would go in to the presence of God in this place we call the Holiest of Holies. And he would offer sacrifices for the sins of the people of Israel. He would bring in a bull, he would bring in a ram, and he would bring in two goats. The bull and the ram were for him to sacrifice for the cleansing of himself and his family so that he could enter into the presence of God as a purified person. The goat was offered as a sin offering to God, so that was sacrificed. But the other goat actually was kept alive. And what happened was Aaron put his hands on the head of the goat and essentially transferred the sin of the people of Israel for the whole year into the head of this goat. And then the goat was chased into the wilderness, never to be seen again. So that is how the people of Israel in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant used to atone for their sin through that old sacrificial system. And there's two points that I really want to make about this sacrificial system that used to be. And the first one is this. The sacrifices had to be made every year, okay? They had to go in every single year and sacrifice for the atonement of what they had done wrong. Secondly, that God's presence was not available to everyone. It was only available to those priests, to those people that were designated to be able to go into God's presence and offer up those sacrifices for him. So I want you to think about those two major points because those differ so much now. Those two things have been flipped upside down now when we talk about the new sacrifice that Jesus was. So, the people of Israel are living under this old sacrificial system, and along comes Jeremiah, the prophet. And Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah 31:33, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord." And this is the major part. "For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." So basically, Jeremiah is prophesying about the coming of Jesus. He's saying, listen, guys, all this stuff that you're doing right now, all these traditions, the fact that you go in every year and you sacrifice your animals for the atonement of your sin and what you've done, listen, that's all going to change. You're not going to have to do that anymore. Why? Because it says here, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. See, God remembered sin back then because you had to go in every year. It was like, it was a temporary atonement. And the people were probably like, Jeremiah, what are you talking about? This is the way we've always done it. You know how like you do stuff and it's just the way you do it? It's just tradition. You get up every day, you do your thing, and then someone comes along and kind of like throws that all into whack, and you're like, no, I'm supposed to be doing this. This is how I do things. This is my schedule. This is my routine. This is how I do it. And we love that. Yeah, some love it more than others. I love it. I do. I love it. So the people of Israel are like, no, Jeremiah, this is what we do. You don't understand. We're going to do this until we come, till God comes back and we see him face to face. Don't you understand that? Like that's what God instructed us to do. And he said, no. There's going to come a time, trust me, where it's going to change. And that new change was Jesus. And he brought in the new sacrifice. So before we start talking about the new sacrifice and what it entails and how it differs from the old way and how we used to sacrifice and now what Jesus did as a new sacrifice, before we get into that, we're going to play the clip from the Passion, and it's the crucifixion scene. So let's play that, and then we're going to get into the new sacrifice and what it means for us. pretty powerful imagery there. I know you guys have probably all seen that before, but I hadn't watched it in a couple of years, and it's pretty powerful to watch that, the way Mel Gibson depicted it. So now Jesus has come, as we see in that movie, and now he offers a new sacrifice. God has sent his son Jesus to offer a new sacrifice, which replaces the old one. And there are three major points I want to talk about this morning about this new sacrifice. The first one is this. Christ's new sacrifice was a once and for all sacrifice. Hebrews 10:1 says, "The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared." See, the old covenant, guys, and the law, okay, only seemed to expose our sin, and the sacrifices would only be able to be temporary for our atonement. The sacrifices that the people of Israel did for God was a temporary atonement, because it had to happen over and over and over again. But Jesus came, okay? He came and he only had to die once for all time. Why? Because nothing, as we said before, came before him was as good, and nothing that will ever come after will be as good. Nothing that we can do now for all time until he comes back will offer as good of a sacrifice as Jesus did on the cross when he did, because he was the perfect, blameless, faultless, sinless Son of God. So there is no reason to sacrifice anything else for the atonement of our sin and our offenses. And because of this once and for all sacrifice, guys, we get to experience the forgiveness of sin forever. And because we get to experience the forgiveness of sin, we can now experience reconciliation with God through Jesus, because there is nothing standing in our way now. Paul talks about reconciliation in Colossians. He says this in Colossians 1:19-22. He says, "For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him being Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you, who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a fault." The best way I can kind of explain this is, you know, in our relationships in our life, you know, we have relationships with people, with our friends, with family, with our spouses or significant others. And sometimes there's like a disagreement or an offense that has been done to either one party or the other. And like, there's this tension because of that. There's this divider. There's this wall up separating you from that person in that relationship. You know, I shared in the first service this week, Shannon and I had to walk through something earlier, where something happened, and I was at work, and she, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about it on the phone, but it wasn't like resolved, you know, we hadn't fixed it yet. And so I couldn't do anything all day. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when you have like relationships in your life that are just not good, you're just like, especially ones that are really close that you really cherish, you're just like, you can't function almost. You know what I mean? It's like, you're just like, ooh, like I got to change this. I got to resolve this. So I got home from work and we talked it out and everything was fine. And then we kind of just, you know, resolved it. We reconciled it. You know, we we got back together. We were unified again, where there was that wall. Now there was no wall. And that's like our relationship with Christ, with God, was that we were once, it says in Colossians, it says, you were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ. We can be reconciled to God through Jesus. And that broken relationship now can be fixed because God fixed it. Not because we fixed it. Through his Son, he fixed it. He also talks about forgiveness, because forgiveness comes with the new sacrifice. And Paul talks about forgiveness in 2 Corinthians. He says, he's talking to the church in Corinth. He says, I am not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt all of you more than he hurt me. Most of you opposed him, and that was punishment enough. Now, however, it is time to forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, he may be overcome by discouragement. So I urge you now to reaffirm your love for him. See, there was someone in the church of Corinth that was doing a lot of bad stuff. And he was maybe, you know, teaching some heretical teachings, or maybe leading people astray, or doing whatever it was. Paul says, you know, he hurt you guys. And I know that. He hurt you more than he hurt me. I understand that. But, however, he says it is time to forgive and comfort him. Why? So you won't cause discouragement. See, when we cannot forgive people, it causes discouragement in that person's life. But not only that, it affects your relationship with them, but it also affects your relationship with God. Because if you have any unforgiveness in your life towards people, it's going to affect your relationship with God. Why? Because God already came and forgave you. So reconciliation and forgiveness through the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus. The second point is this. Christ came to supplant the old covenant with the new. Hebrews 8:13 says, when God speaks of a new covenant, it means he has made the first one obsolete. It is now out of date and will soon disappear. Jesus came and replaced the old covenant with the new. And now because of this, we have entered into a new covenant, or a new promise, that is life ruled by the Spirit. Okay? The old covenant was ruled by the law. The law was given. We had to obey the law. And all the rituals and traditions were all coming underneath the law. Now, Paul says, well, the writer of Hebrews says, now we no longer live under that law. Now we live under a life ruled by the Spirit. Think of how much more glorious this covenant is that we live under now, you guys. The old covenant, okay, which brought death and destruction and just showed us that we couldn't measure up. Okay, that was so glorious. It says, you know, it says when Moses came down off that mountain after God had revealed to him his covenant, his face shone bright like the sun, and the people of Israel couldn't even look at his face. I made this illustration in the first service. When you're driving sometimes in the morning, when you wake up really early, I wake up really early in the morning. I am like out the door early. I drive before the sun comes up. And when that sun comes up, and it's on the horizon, and you're just like, oh man, that sun is bright. You know, you got to put the visor down. You got to kind of, you know, shift your, you know, block your eyes or do something, because you're like, man, I can't even see in front of me. It was like that. It was like the people of Israel couldn't even look at Moses because his face shone so brightly because of the glory of God on Moses because of the covenant that he had revealed to them. Imagine now this covenant that we live under now, which is ruled by the Spirit. Imagine how much more glorious this covenant is that we can all share together. Amen. It's amazing. We don't have to live by the law anymore. Paul talks about this a little bit in Romans when he says, in Romans 14, he said, if God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. For the law only brings punishment on those who try to obey it. In parentheses, the only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law at all. Yeah. Okay, think about that. Okay, so basically Paul's saying, Oh, man, if we just didn't have a speed limit, I could just go as fast as I wanted. That'd be awesome. No, that's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that we don't, if we're living in the Spirit, there doesn't need to be a law. Because if we're living in the Spirit, we're already being obedient to that law that God first gave to his people. So you don't have to worry about it. If you're living in the Spirit and you have accepted Jesus into your heart and you're living under that new covenant. In Matthew, Jesus says this. He says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So he's saying, you know, he said, I have not come to abolish the law. I've come to, you know, uphold the law. I am the law. I am the, basically, who the law is, that is who I am. But he's saying you don't have to obey that. Why? He said, because if you love your God with all, these are your two commandments. Love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, you're already under the law. You're already being obedient. So he came to fulfill the law, but it wasn't by bringing more laws. It was by giving us these two unbelievably perfect commandments. And if we follow those, we're good. We're good. Life under the Spirit is basically about loving others and loving God. But it's hard to love others sometimes. It's hard to love others. It's hard to love people who are hard to love. Let me say it again. It's hard to love people who are hard to love. Some people in my life may say that I'm hard to love. It's probably a lot of people. And I'm sure some people in your lives would say you're hard to love too. But that's okay. That's okay. Why is it hard to love people sometimes? Because we are imperfect, okay? We don't understand the unconditional love, the unconditional nature that Jesus displayed on that cross when he died. That was the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate display of unconditional love towards people. And we can try to be like that, but there's just no way. But that's okay. We don't have to be perfect. But if we are willing to take up our cross daily, if we are willing to say, you know what, Jesus, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to go where you want me to go. I'm going to say what you want me to say. I'm going to take up my cross every single day and live my life for your kingdom and live my life for you. Do you think he's going to bring people into your life that are easy to love? No way. Why? Because if we only have people in our life that we love and that are easy to love and that love us back, you're never going to grow. Spiritually, you will never grow closer to God. And ultimately, we will never, ever be transformed into the image of Christ. We can live comfortably all day long if we want. We can surround ourselves with people that make us feel good and that are easy to love. But if we do that, don't expect yourself to grow. Don't expect yourself to be transformed into the image of Christ, because it's not going to happen. Jesus said in Matthew 5:46, he says this. He says, if you only love those who love you, what reward is that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how different are you from anyone else? Even the pagans do that. We could just go along and just love the people we love and be friends with the people we're friends with. And anybody who comes around us and offends us in any way, we can say, you know what, forget it. I'm not dealing with you. Well, even people that don't understand the love of God can do that. If we only love the people that are easy to love and that love us, how much different are we going to be? We're not going to be. If we want to distinguish ourselves from the world, we must love in a way that is furious, unrelenting, and without condition. And that is life under the new covenant brought in by the new sacrifice that Jesus died on the cross. Life under the Spirit and not under the law. The last thing, Jesus, through this new covenant, now is our mediator, okay? He offered himself up as a perfect sacrifice for us, And now because of that, he has all authority in heaven to be our mediator. He's our go-between. Where before the people of Israel had to have a priest be their go-between, now we don't need that. We don't need a priest. We don't need anyone else to be our go-between between us and God. Amen. Right? So Jesus is in heaven right now mediating our relationship with God. Think about that. He's up there right now going, looking at you, you know, looking at me and saying, God, look at Chad, look at Miriam, look at Dan. That person, you are being offered up to God right now, perfectly sinless and blameless and without fault. Think about that. Because why? He traded places with us. I don't know how this happens, but he who knew no sin took on sin so we could become righteous. Okay? He was the last person that deserved to die on this earth. He was the last person, but what he did because he took what he had, which was sinless perfectness, transferred it to us on the cross, and now he took on all the sin of the world. What God does that? He didn't have to do that, but he did. And why did he do it? So we could inherit eternity with God. He's doing this, guys, so that we can inherit eternity with him. And an inheritance that is not like an earthly inheritance. It is an inheritance that is offered to us by someone who knows us intimately. The other thing that we get from Jesus being our mediator is access to God's presence. Remember when we talked about in the old covenant, under the old sacrificial law, only certain people could come in and offer sacrifices to God for their sin. Now, because Jesus is our mediator through the new sacrifice, now we have God. We have access to God's presence immediately. In Luke 23, the original text that we looked at, a smaller part of that, it says here, by this time it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3:00. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with those words, he breathed his last breath. See, this curtain that they're talking about in this scripture is a symbol of the separation between God's presence and his people. Okay, this curtain was there in the old sacrificial system when the people of Israel were in the desert, when they set up the tent of meeting, and there was this place called the Holiest of Holies, and like people could kind of mill around, but no one could go through that curtain except for the people that were designated for that. And now the scripture says, because Jesus died on the cross, now that curtain has been torn, which means what? Now there is complete access to God's presence. It was a physical event representing a spiritual shift on the part of God because of Christ's blood, and we are now granted full access into his presence once and for all. We no longer have to sacrifice animals. We no longer have to have someone else offer up sacrifices for us. We can go straight to God with everything that we have, with our sin, with our failures, with our dreams, with our struggles, with our offenses. We can go straight to God and receive forgiveness and reconciliation for it. Because Jesus removed the barrier to God and opened the gates wide for us. That's what he did when he came to the cross and offered a new sacrifice for us. He became our mediator, and now we have access to him. And I'm going to finish with this. Hebrews 9:12. Writer of Hebrews says, with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once and for all time and secured our redemption forever. See, when God first gave Moses that old covenant and the Ten Commandments, it was an amazing event in history. And Moses' face was evident, okay? When they talk about how Moses' face was shone brightly like the sun, it was evident in Moses' face the glory of God and the covenant and how amazing that revelation was. But that covenant was just the beginning. Through that covenant, the people of God, they realized that they couldn't live up to God's expectation. And they would worship God, and then they would worship idols, and then they would profess God to be their God, and then they would turn away from him, and they would be sent into exile, and God would deliver them from their enemies. It was just this back and forth relationship with God where God must have been so frustrated sometime, like, why, you guys just you have to get this. You have to get how good I am. There is nothing else the world has to offer that is better than me. And so often our life can look like that, where we're just in this groove with him, and we're worshiping him and praying to him and reading his word, and we're just doing what he wants us to do. And it's just awesome. We're experiencing the presence of God, and he's just moving. And then there's other times where it's like, ooh, because of something we've done, there's an offense there, and we are separated from him. And there's this wall and a barrier that we have created, not him, but us. And God says, I'm never leaving you, but through what you've done, you have separated yourself from me. But God, but Jesus offers that perfect sacrifice, that new sacrifice, that we don't have to feel like that anymore. We don't ever have to feel separated from him, ostracized, alienated from him. We never have to feel like that anymore. Through this once and for all sacrifice, he reconciled the whole world to himself. He fixed the problem through the forgiveness of sin. And this new sacrifice, the covenant, gave us life in the Spirit. And this new sacrifice established Christ as our mediator, granting us unprecedented and unlimited access to God and his presence. At any time, there's this open dialogue that we can have with him in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. There was once a barrier, and now there isn't, because of Jesus' blood on the cross and the new sacrifice that he displayed for us. It's crazy to think about this God who, in the Old Testament, we read about, you know, there are only certain people that can go into his presence, okay? And the Old Testament talks about this story during the Day of Atonement, before the Day of Atonement was established, where Aaron's brothers, who were also priests, they entered into the presence of God, and they were doing their thing, and there was something about what they did. Like, they lit a fire, scripture says, and it wasn't like the right fire. It wasn't pleasing to God, and God just took them out right there. Okay? That's crazy. Like, he was so picky about who he let into his presence and what you did in his presence. But now that same God now says, you know what? Because I send my son, it doesn't matter who you are. You can be a Jew, you can be not a Jew. It doesn't matter where you are, where you've been, where you've come from, what you've done. He said, now everyone who calls on my name, on my son's name, has immediate access into my presence. And that's the promise for us this morning, you guys. That is ultimately what the new sacrifice is about. Immediate access into God's presence. This is for you and me this morning. In God's presence, which is made possible by the blood of Jesus and his new sacrifice, we can be renewed, reshaped, and restored through the blood of Christ. And that is what we can rest on this morning as we think about that new sacrifice and what Jesus did for us on that cross. So I'm just going to pray this morning, and I'm going to have the ministry team come up. It's about 5 after or so. So let's have everyone stand. And let's have the ministry team come up. I'm just going to pray this morning real quick. And then I'd love for anyone who wants to get prayer this morning to come on up. I just pray, Father, that your presence would be so real, not only in this place this morning, God, but in the lives and in the hearts of everyone that has professed your name. God, I just pray that you would remind people that they can enter into your presence, your glorious presence, at any point in time. Because, Jesus, you have made that way through your new sacrifice. So, God, I pray right now, Father, if there is anyone in this room that needs to be revealed to them by you, that they can access your presence anytime right now, I pray that they would come up and get prayer for that. I pray if there's any reconciliation that needs to happen between you and God, or you and someone else, or whoever, if there's unforgiveness there, if you haven't gone to God for something that you need forgiveness for, or other people in your life, I pray that you would come now and receive that from people that are ready to pray for you up here. God, we just ask for your presence this morning in this place. And God, I pray, God, for every single one, God, that we would be able to experience your presence in a new way, and that we would understand what your sacrifice means, your new sacrifice means on this day where we celebrate you. We just thank you, God, for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So come on and get prayer if you guys want. You guys are free to leave, but if you need prayer for anything, come on up. We got people here that are ready to pray for you.